You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. Hi, I'm your host, Dave Hodges, coming to you live from the rural deserts north of metropolitan Phoenix. And we like to think of ourselves as the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Well, we're fortunate in the first part of the show, and I'll preview the show after this brief first segment, but we're fortunate to have my congressman on from Congressional District 4 here in Arizona, Representative Paul Gosar. And just if you're not familiar with Representative Gosar, he is what I like to call a hardcore constitutionalist, and that already puts him on my side. And we're our time is short with the congressman, so we're going to forego all the preliminaries that we normally go through, and we'll go right to our newsmaker line. Congressman Gosar, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Dave. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's our privilege and pleasure to have you on, and our thanks to Faith, your media representative, for making this happen. Well, Congressman, there's a lot going on. Donald Trump has tried to drain the swamp. He's tried to bring much-needed reform, and he's getting a lot of resistance. But I know that you and President Trump see eye to eye on a lot of issues. Let's start with a couple of those and just kind of familiarize my audience with where you stand on immigration.
Well, what we need to do, Dave, is we need to go back to what it takes to be a rightful entry into this country. We got a bunch of victims that are waiting in line to do it the right way, and we got to make sure that we look at them first to exonerate doing it the right way. And then what we have to do is we have to make sure that we have a sovereignty, that our country can define its borders and uphold the rule of law. We also have to have enforce against sanctuary cities. We need to talk about birthright citizenship. You know, this is key. Birthright citizenship has not been settled. It's been settled for somebody here legally, but not illegally. And then we also have to challenge chain migration. All of that has to be done one step at a time, one piece at a time, instead of comprehensively, so that the American public can actually weigh in and have a say with their voice, because it is a core component of the American way of life. And once we get through that, then we can start talking about the Dreamers and talking about where we go with them. So from that standpoint, border enforcement is critical. Sovereignty and defense of our laws and our borders is a starting point. So I think we see very eye to eye in that regard.
Did you favor the pardoning of Sheriff Joe Arpaio?
I did. As you know, hardly the administration before the Obama administration, Dave, wasn't politicized. You look at, you know, Fast and Furious, you look at the IRS, you look at the unmasking, you look constantly at the tarmac meeting with Loretta Lynch.
Yes.
It wasn't law enforcement, and they were the ones that pursued Sheriff Arpaio. So I thought it was a good opportunity for the president to honor somebody that was very faithful to him.
Well, I can tell you, being out here in your district and having had to be a fighter, and someday I'll share this with you privately, but I was our representative out here for a huge land rights battle that went on for 8 years. And I have my finger on the pulse out here, and I have to tell you that the pardoning of Sheriff Arpaio was almost universally accepted out here. And by the way, you're extremely popular out here, too. I mean, my neighbors were hearing today that you were going to be on the show, and they go, oh, this is incredible. I can't wait to tune in. to hear you. And I'll tell you why they like you, Congressman. They like you not just because you're a good guy, but they like you because you support the rule of law. Unlike you just mentioned the tarmac meeting and all this nonsense going on, you don't tolerate people that don't follow the rule of law. Let me move to a second issue here besides the immigration issue. Oh, I want one more question before we leave that. Do you think 6 months is enough time to deal with DACA?
I do. You know, Dave, what I think that we can do is I think everybody's got a big heart. There's plenty of opportunities to address it. You know, we've got plenty of time and take it one piece at a time. Congress should be able to chew gum and walk at the same time. And from that standpoint, I think there's always that possibility. I think there's things on the books. We had a long-term visitor program that we utilized in this country from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. What it basically required is you to check in once a year. And we can do that to the post office, put them to work, making sure that you have sponsors, that you're fulfilling your obligation as a citizen properly, that you are taking no handouts in regards to welfare and that stuff, and that you have no felonies or misdemeanors. And then that gives us plenty of time, you know, to relook at this, because we have to do it in the rightful fashion. Otherwise, we're just going to exacerbate the problem, Dave.
You know, you are so right on the felonies issue. I bring this up to my liberal friends, and I do have friends that are liberal, and they're, some of them are really good people, but they don't want to hear we're going to keep people out because they've committed aggravated assault or they've carjacked someone or done an armed robbery. And to me, that's just unconscionable that we'd even want people like that in our country.
Well, and you hear this propaganda that, you know, that the Obama administration doubly vetted and fingerprinted all these kids that were, you know, the dreamers. Well, that's not true. I mean, when you look at the numbers that, and we're putting a website together to actually highlight this, they brought in a lot of MS-13 folks underneath mm-hmm. the guise of the dreamers, underneath this aspect. And so that's not true. And we need to fulfill the obligation of due diligence to make sure that what was done underneath of Barack Obama's time followed mustard. Most of the time it doesn't.
Well, thank you for mentioning MS-13. People don't really realize that threat. They're often used in Mexico and throughout Central America, particularly for the drug cartels, as their hitmen. And they're coming into this country. I mean, I'm highly concerned about that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when the children were coming from Central America, I went down with their Elisa to El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. And we saw this over and over again. This is nothing to be trifled with. You know, this is a country that we have to make sure that the citizen has the proper defense against thugs, whether they be drug-related, whether it be MS-13, all the way across the board. And this is pretty, people know something's wrong. They feel uncomfortable, and I think that's why you saw the election of 2016. They're uncomfortable with where they sit, with the presence that they have, the law enforcement that they have, and they see that the lawbreaker is put on a pedestal going forward instead of being put behind jail.
Exactly. I mean, I so agree with you on that. Let's go to taxes real quick. I'm a small business owner by definition, and I'm paying about 45% in taxes to the state and the federal government. That's ridiculous. I mean, are the tax reforms that you are talking about and President Trump talking about, is this going to address small businesses? Because I was asked by a number of people to ask you that question.
Well, President Trump has looked at it, and you can follow along. He wants to kind of keep it simple. Stephen Moore has actually highlighted what he would hope the president would follow through on this. Keep it simple. The KISS theory, and drop the rate of the corporate rate down to 15%. Have three rates instead of seven. Double the personal deduction. Keep it simple along those lines. The problem that we have in Congress is that we're over-promising and under-delivering. And that's part of the problem, is that we're hearing corporate rates of 27 or 28%. That doesn't work. That doesn't work for the American public. And small businesses are the hub of all, 80% of all jobs that are created in this country. And that's why we have to make sure that we have more money in your pocket, getting the federal government out of the way, and allowing you to move forward. I think metered expensing, which Ted Cruz has put forward, makes a big deal. But it means that we have to look at it bravely and make sure that we're bold in that and try to help the economy. Think about this, Dave. The second quarter this year, we grew at 3%. Two-thirds of the way through the third quarter, we're already at 3.5%, almost 3.6%. And that's with nothing. What that basically was attributed to was the federal government under Donald Trump got rid of the rules and regulations. He started working with business instead of hurting business. And if we can get the tax code simplified, empowering business and people and small businesses in particular, you're going to see this economy hum. If it was good enough for Ronnie, it was good enough for us.
No, I totally agree with you, Congressman. And people are not giving the president and the people who are in line with him, such as yourself, enough credit for what's happening with the stock market, for keeping jobs in America from going overseas. And he's done this with really out the benefit of legislation. And it, to me, it's incredible. I wanted to bring up something,
and,
too.
And that's,
go ahead.
And that's why a lot of my fellow friends in the Freedom Caucus are holding up the budget, because it's the only leverage point we have with House leadership to find out exactly what they're holding in their cards. You know, what does it look like? What does the House plan look like? You know, what are the rates? You know, we don't know that yet, Dave. And so that's why we're holding out on that budget. It's the only way that we can get some leverage. They need that budget for reconciliation, that 51-vote threshold, to get something through. And so from that standpoint, that's why you're also there's some unsolved or unknown aspects about what the House is standing for until we actually see what the leadership comes up with.
You see, I think that's wise and prudent. Now, people are impatient, and they expected President Trump to hit the ground running, and he has had to make some deals, as all presidents do. But I'll tell you one thing that really I find people are frustrated, and I have to confess I am a little bit, too. We thought that President Trump was going to drain the swamp, and we hoped that he would do it through the DOJ. And I heard an interview with Congressman Andy Biggs, also from Arizona. That's for our national audience. He interviewed with Darren Dammy, friend of the show, on KTR Radio here in Phoenix. And Congressman Biggs and Trent Franks are both of the same opinion. Someone like Debbie Wasserman Schultz is facing big trouble. And then to dovetail on that, I want to know why people aren't being prosecuted for the tarmac meeting, why Hillary Clinton isn't having the emails revisited, because to me, she's guilty of sin. It's out there and admitted to. Can you talk about that generally?
You betcha. The first part of it is that we have talked to Attorney General Sessions. The problem that he has is that there are a whole host of openings underneath the DOJ. Remember, they're still filled with Obama appointees that have no intentions of following through to help President Trump. And there, at one point in time, it may still be that way. Almost 200 openings still need confirmation. That's key there, Dave, is that you can't adjudicate the law until you have the people there to help you out that follow the way of thinking that you have. A president has every right to get those people into place. That means the Senate's got to start moving things. That means we also have to cut through the crap, which means that on the Senate floor, and I'll start by saying that the Democrats may be the opposition, but the Senate is always the enemy. When you look at their arcane rules, the blue slipping, allowing them to manipulate floor time. And I'll give you an example of this. You had a gentleman that was put up for the U.S. attorney in Wisconsin. I believe his name was Nye. He passed unanimously, but the Democrats required 8 hours of floor time before they would confirm him, slowing the process. That's part of the problem. Now, when you talk about draining the swamp, the president has done a great job. I'll give you another example. If you remember, we had a big hubbubaloo out in Lake Havasu, in which the Fish and Wildlife Service just arbitrarily just walled off our quarantine part of the lake. The Fish and Wildlife Service, Ben Tuggle, out of the regional office of Albuquerque, was part of the problem. We went after him. and Ryan Zinke reappointed 50 of those senior executive officers to desk jobs. He's no longer here. That is important. When you look at the VA, there's been over 500 firings throughout the country. So he's getting it done. The problem is that Congress is slowing the process. When you don't confirm the people for him to get into the right places at the right time, they're very limited in what they can get done. And if you go back to what Ryan Zinke said on his first day, he rode in on a horse to the Interior Department. He sat down with all his senior administration officials. He started speaking. He realized 20 minutes in that no one was taking notes. They had no intentions of taking any notes. That's what's sad, is the swamp is inbred into the agencies.
Oh, I know. I've got a friend in the FBI. I've got two friends in the State Department. And I hear the stories. I have a friend, they went after her for having President Trump's photo on her workplace desk after the election while Obama's photos were everywhere. So I've heard these stories ad nauseum. I know of which you speak. So you're thinking that prosecutions of these high-profile people like Wasserman Schultz and Hillary Clinton herself will happen when Trump is able to fill more DOJ positions? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm hoping. You know, one of the things that we actually did, Dave, is we wrote a letter that was signed by five other members of Congress to Attorney General Sessions and the President, advising him that he had the wherewithal to investigate the unmasking of American citizens, the email exchanges, the IRS, you know, the wrongdoings against the American people. Because if you don't think they're coordinated, they are. You think about the IRS, you think about the Fast and Furious, you think about the Operation Choke Point, you look at the unmasking of American citizens. It goes back to the Alinsky's rules of for radicals, is we're all about the peaceful exchange of ideas, of language, about speech, until we have guns, and then we are all about the gun.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more, Congressman. Well, I tell you, I'm also indebted to one of your staff members, and I wanted to give her some public acknowledgement. She's friends with a very, very close friend of mine, Joe Delgado. Her name is Teresa Martinez, and I know she works on your staff, and Joe works for Secretary of State Michelle Reagan here. And I was talking to Joe on the phone. He said, hey, come up. I want to introduce you to Teresa Martinez. So that's really how this happened, and it kind of springboarded into me working with Faith to get you on. Congressman, you've been very generous with your time, and I think my audience has a pretty good idea about why I'm voting for you in 2018.
Well, I appreciate it, Dave, and I just want to do a shout out. Teresa helped me yesterday with one of our heroes from World War II, Harpo Saleha, down in Florence. What a wonderful man, and I hope that you'll time in to see us, see his record and his life on our Facebook this week. But this is a gentleman that was on the Indianapolis, USS Indianapolis, the raising of the flag in Iwo Jima, endured the 5 days out in the water when he sank. What a wonderful man, and what a wonderful experience to see a community come together to honor one of our heroes, Dave.
That's very, very touching. I'm all too familiar with the Indianapolis story. I was raised by a World War II naval officer, so I've heard the story and familiar with it historically. Congressman Gozar, thank you so much for being generous with your time, and keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you, and keep your ideas coming, Dave. We love hearing that, because solutions are where Main Street and the rubber hit the road. So thanks so much.
You're right. Thanks so much, Congressman. It's Congressman Paul Gozar, my representative here in Congressional District 4. He, Andy Biggs, we're blessed to have a few good congresspeople here in Arizona. You know, I have a lot of disdain for the way Congress has been conducting their business, generally speaking, and especially going back into the Bush administration, but more into the Obama administration. And I have to tell you, Arizona hasn't quite followed down that path. Now, we all know my feeling about John McCain, but that's more of my personal issues. But also, too, he is an impediment to this president. He's an impediment to the Republican Party, in my humble opinion. But we do have some good congresspeople here, and there are good ones out there. And before the 2018 election, we are going to be compiling a list nationally of who should be returned to office and who do we need to really target to get out. And I think we're looking well, big time, the Democratic side of the aisle, but I also think there's a number of Republicans that we need to be targeting for removal as well. But also, too, let's not forget that we want to support those people who support us. And Congressman Gozar is one of the good guys. He does support us. Well, just wanted to mention here before we go to Joe Hagman that we are brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals in this particular segment. Steve Quayle converting, hopefully, but a lot of people think, soon to be worthless cash into precious metals. It's certainly a good hedge against inflation. Get a hold of Steve tomorrow as he returns from that great conference in Branson. And his number is 406-586-4842. 406-586-4842. Also, too, we believe every American needs to be independent. If you don't think that Harvey and Irma and hopefully not, but possibly Jose have not accentuated the need to be independent, Numana Foods, best storable food company out there. Go to numana.com/Hodges. And for my audience, you get a 5% discount using the coupon code Hodges9. Well, for the balance of the hour, we're going to be joined by my good friend Joe Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report. He also, as you know, has his own show now during the week, and I think that's a great step forward for Joe. So I believe we have Joe holding. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Dave. How's it going?
It's going good. I think you see why I like my congressman.
Oh, absolutely. And you're exactly right when you talk about this upcoming election, how it's time to examine the candidates and those in office and look to see who's, you know, hindering the agenda that our president is pushing and look to see who's promoting it as far as the candidates who are running. And we have to make sure that we uplift nationally those candidates who are a good fit for Trump's agenda. Because we see what's going on with this Congress, even though, you know, they promised this, you know, from healthcare repeal and replace to budget and tax bills, we have seen nothing from them. And they have a very low approval rating. You know, we're talking in the single to low double digits, from 8 to 20%, just as low as the media. And these people have been, you know, basically corrupt and absorbing all this money through their, you know, special legislation that they push through. And one thing that we see with this is 67 times they put the repeal and replace when Obama was in office, knowing he wouldn't sign it. And now we see them, you know, dragging their feet and in some cases hindering this healthcare legislation that they tried to get through. So there is a lot on the table with these midterm elections. It is
there are. Oh, you're so right, Joe. You heard Paul say, "Hey, we're not going to cave in here. If we have to hold out for a while, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to get all the facts, and we're going to line up and do it the right way." And that's really, I think, the right approach. Let me ask you this question before we jump into the issues that we're going to talk about. You heard me. I asked Congressman Gozar a very pointed question about prosecution of what I think are obvious criminals. I mean, Wasserman Schultz, aiding and abetting of obstruction. Obviously, Hillary Clinton, choose your crime with her. But he said
Maxine Waters,
that,
another one.
That could take the rest of the hour if we do this, Joe. So, but anyway, the question I want to ask you on this is the congressman felt that we are running into opposition with getting key positions filled. Do you think we have to have all these positions filled before we bring charges against, say, Wasserman Schultz?
You know, that's a good question. One thing that really bothers me about the elected officials getting away with all this corruption and scandals, and you listed, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the head of the DNC during the Hillary Clinton presidential run, and we saw, due to corruption and insider deals, she had to step down. Now, unfortunately, she did not step down from her position in Washington, which would probably have been appropriate. But there is so many people inside those halls in Washington that are and have been corrupt for so long. And as much as I believe we can see, you know, cases brought against these people, I do not believe people in Washington will be willing to do this. Even if we have a great victory on the midterm elections, we had a gentleman on just a few days ago on Hagman Report, and also running for Congress in Idaho is Michael Snyder, a guest of ours too. And both separately, these two guests, they both, you know, made the point that when we have these kind of election cycles in the House and Senate, that you only get maybe one to two people who are really actually, you know, good or pure of heart politically, you know, unwilling to be corrupt. And that's such a low number when you look at what, how many 400 plus people, jobs there are at this level. So it, this is a, an uphill battle. And even, you know, the attorney generals and the people all throughout that, that fill the DOJ and who would prosecute, a lot of these people make their money getting their pockets lined by special interests, by passing, you know, with the tax dollars through illegal means. So you're going to find run into a brick wall when you see when you attempt to bring charges against these people. And we've seen it in the past. Maxine Waters was charged for financial crimes while she was a sitting representative, and you know, she got sanctioned at some level, but she got to keep her job, she got to keep her pay. And we see this so much in Washington, D.C., the level of corruption, and it's staggering. So as much as I believe we should and push for this, for people to be held accountable for their crimes, I don't think right now with the climate and culture in D.C. and the people who are in there, we're going to see that anytime soon.
Yeah, one can only dream. I dream of Hillary in pinstripes. And I'm telling you, Joe, I'll have the party when it happens. And you're invited.
Everybody
all
will.
All the refreshments and entertainment are courtesy of yours truly. And you're so right, too, about people like Maxine Waters. I mean, let's not forget about Dianne Feinstein, who came into the Senate husband. As a millionaire, and now she's a billionaire.
Yeah, and the jobs that her husband was getting with his contracting company that were, you know, these high-bid government jobs, and we're talking millions of dollars a year, that he, you know, he was getting favor because he was her husband, and he was getting all these contracts. And that's just one example. I'm sure there are thousands of examples, you know, throughout the House of Representatives and the Senate, just like that. And, you know, we see it even with the Awan Brothers case, how he brought his whole family on. He had his brother, his wife, you know, his sister, basically everybody working for the DNC as an IT person, pulling in six figures a year, each individually. And we, you know, this is something that is, it's very problematic. And it speaks to the root of corruption and greed that we have in this political culture that we have. So until we get people who are willing to forego the gifts, forego the you know, free money that they receive for their vote, for their interest, we're never going to see Washington fixed. It's just not going to happen. A good way to look at it is like a police force. When you have every cop on your force is a dirty cop pocketing drug money, you know, on seizures, you're going to have, you know, the corruption is going to even be so much worse than that. That's just the starting point. It's the same thing in Washington. It's like a group of corrupt police officers who constantly rob and steal from the crime scenes. And that's what we have there.
We do. And the crime scene, unfortunately, is our government. We're talking to Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report. He also has his own show, and we'll talk about that before we conclude the hour. But, Joe, let's get down to a couple of the news items we wanted to talk about. And I wanted to mention that it was about 2 weeks ago, Paul Martin and I did a brief podcast interview on the fact that there are 15 people in northern Colorado have had acute hearing loss, sudden, unexpected, men in good health, all male, by the way. Some have recovered their hearing, some have not. and you know something about that, so let's shed some light on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's some new information that has come out from pertaining to the U.S. Embassy and personnel in Cuba. This one article here, Mystery of Sonic Weapon Attacks at U.S. Embassy in Cuba Deepens. And I just want to read the very beginning of this because it is the story of one of the ambassadors who have been a victim of this weapon. The blaring, grinding noise jolted the American diplomat from his bed in a Havana hotel. He moved just a few feet and there was silence. He climbed back into bed. Inexplicably, the agonizing sound hit him again. It was as if he'd walked through some kind of invisible wall, cutting straight through his room. Soon came the hearing loss and the speech problems. Symptoms both similar and altogether different from others among at least 21 victims in an astonishing international mystery still unfolding in Cuba. The top U.S. diplomat has called them health attacks. So this is the latest from Cuba. We have 21 American victims. You have a number of Canadian victims, all who were hit with this some kind of sonic sound weapon, where they have suffered permanent or hearing loss that they believe is going to be permanent. They have suffered brain damage, minor brain damage, and a number of other symptoms from, you know, ranging from headaches to things that have to do with your central nervous system. And this is leaving many to, you know, ask the question, what happened to these people? Well, again, they believe they were hit with some kind of sonic or electromagnetic sound weapon. The president in Cuba has called and allowed for the U.S. to come down there and thoroughly investigate, or has said he would allow that and is going to allow that. The U.S. and Canada have both been kind of tight-lipped about this, but even now, this new report says that these victims are having not only problems concentrating, but recalling specific words, which is kind of strange. But either way, there's something, you know, really strange going on with this, and it's very important. If there are these sound weapons being utilized, who is using them, and, you know, what other countries have them, and what are the extent of the damage that they can cause? I think the American people really deserve to be able to know if, you know, the weapons that the U.S. government has, especially if they've been somehow, the designs have somehow been co-opted and are able to be used just freely in the world. I believe the not only the people in America, but the world deserve to know, you know, what these weapons are and what they can do. But I guess one step at a time, we'll see what happens from this. I don't have hope that they'll find or at least even release the information as to what causes this, if they find out at all. But we'll see. It's a very interesting story.
Joe, after Paul Martin and I ran that story, I went and checked out the information according to a couple people that I thought might know. And they didn't have specific operational information. But what both told me, they said, you know, Dave, HAARP can do this. Said you can pinpoint frequencies using HAARP. You can have a broad-based HAARP approach. That's how they move weather. And you can pinpoint to individuals. And did you know about that?
Yeah, I've heard about that before. Also, I've heard about the microwave weapons, where it's basically a very high-tech microwave that they point and shoot at you, and it melts your internal organs. And you have no outside damage to you, and it'll obviously kill you. But no, I'm familiar with the HAARP being able to shoot, I guess not so much as weapons, but energy or ions and direct those somewhere. But I didn't know, I don't know how accurate that is and how much they can narrow it down.
One of the people I talked to said, Dave, do you remember this show that was on briefly, and it wasn't very good, and it was called 13? Actually, the first year wasn't bad. A lot of predictive programming in it. But in the second year, they had HAARP prominently featured in the show. And they were able to put people to sleep in a mass crowd using certain frequencies. And I've been told, hey, you know, the human brain emits different frequencies for different activities, and yeah, that can happen. So when we look at this hearing loss, that would be my number one suspicion. You know, could it be done locally? Yeah, but boy, I'll tell you, plausible deniability. You don't have anything in the area that can be picked up or detected, and the signal comes from a remote, and then, you know, maybe you didn't do it. And that's how I think that they would do this. But it's got to be the Cubans doing this on purpose. Why do you think they might do this to veterans in northern Colorado?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there who talk about things, even personal experiences, with gang stalking. And you have this whole verbiage when it comes to gang stalking and that type of behavior, like a targeted individual. We know on our show, and a guest of our show, Greg Evenson, who's really good friends with Steve Quayle, he had some issues with something that he did not understand what he was being harassed or hit with that caused him some health problems. And he came on our show and talked about that on our show. We see cases like this all the time. We get emails from people who go through this kind of harassment. And many people will say, well, that's just the, you know, these people are paranoid. They don't really have, you know, nobody's after them. Some of what they're recounting is not true. We hear that a lot as excuses, but there's so much that goes on with a lot of these cases that can be explained. So I believe there is this gang stalking behavior out there. Who's behind it and why are they behind it? I don't know. But I imagine that veterans, you know, many having issues with PTSD and that they could be a population who would be targeted with different kinds of psychological warfare operations.
For beta testing, do you think?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Who knows the extent of what the CIA and even other groups inside the government do with their black ops and black ops money. We know that they were testing on soldiers and veterans in the 1960s with LSD. So think, you know, 50 years ahead from that. Who knows, you know, what they're doing to the population knowingly and unknowingly.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a mystery wrapped within an enigma, and we kind of go full circle, and I think this is why we hear about targeting, too. And I think it's much the same thing. I think it's a different brand of targeting. Let's jump to our second topic we were going to discuss, and that's the bad cold that won't go away. And I'm referring to Hillary Clinton, and specifically her book. I'm sorry, Joe, I can't say this with a straight face. I mean, you know, if you get your butt kicked, you usually go away for a while, but not Hillary.
Yeah, I mean, just the presidential runs that I remember as of late, you know, you didn't hear anything from Mitt Romney. You didn't hear, except with John McCain, he was a senator, so you heard him in that context. She is so arrogant, and it's obvious, painfully obvious, from her own verbiage of her book. And her book is titled, What Happened? It is a story about the process and her own personal feelings as it pertains to the election and her election defeat. So she goes on to, you know, blame just about everybody in America for her loss, aside from herself. And the reason I want to talk about Clinton, and hopefully this will be the last time, you know, we really have to discuss her. I don't know what she can do after this. You know, she was pretty much over the election loss media coverage, except for she just came out with this book, which has kind of extended that a little bit. And she did a number of interviews.
If you bring her up again, you're going to be the guy that flushes the toilet twice, okay?
Okay.
All right, that's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, you know, what's funny is I mentioned this book two or three times this week on our show, on John and my show, the Hagman Daily Show. And after the third day, he took up issue with me mentioning it. But anyway, Hillary goes on to do a number of interviews in the media last week. You know, CBS, NBC, ABC, all these, CNN, MSNBC with Rachel Maddow, promoting her book. In all these interviews, she's asked a number of questions about the book and about the election loss. So you have a compilation of Hillary clips as she, you know, in different interviews, she would blame different parties for her loss, whether it's the media, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's James Comey, whether it's the white people, whether it's sexism or misogyny. She just about blamed everybody. She even said in her book a number of very interesting things. One thing I found interesting was that she wrote that after the election, about 20 or so different women came up to her and apologized for not voting for her. And she goes on to say, I wanted to absolve them, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Something along those lines. It was really funny. It just shows the height of her arrogance.
Yeah, in the name of the Father and the Mother, we call Hillary Clinton. Yeah. We forgive you, yeah.
I mean that the lack of humility for somebody to say something like that, it's astounding. She also went on to say that it was, you know, the journalists' fault, as they were, in her words, overwhelmingly pro-Trump. Oh, and that she wishes she could make voodoo dolls out of journalists and fill them with needles.
And I thought that's what a fourth degree coven witch would do.
Yeah, but I mean, really, you, how many times, David, in your life, or anybody out there listening, have you ever thought when you're mad at somebody, oh, I'm going to go make a voodoo doll of that person and stick them with needles? I mean, nobody I know would ever think of that. Ever.
I got a knuckle sandwich. That's what I would deliver. Never thought about voodoo dolls, though. You know, like I said, you keep bringing her up. You know, you get away with it tonight. You get a free pass, but you'll be flushing that toilet twice because I'm not going near it. Hillary Clinton, she forgot to blame one entity, though, two entities. The George Soros voting machines. I mean, that should be near the top of her list. They didn't change enough votes. I mean, had to change more votes.
She did blame the Electoral College.
No, but I mean George Soros and his voting machines in 16 states. And then how about the 7 million voters, Democrats, registered to vote in adjacent states? I mean, there should have been 20 million. She should blame them. And then, of course, all the illegal aliens that voted, particularly in California, should have blamed them. So she left off a few groups.
You know, she really did, but there are some people that she will never never blame publicly. She did blame Barack Obama. She did blame all the white people and all the women who didn't vote for her, because apparently just because she's a woman, every other woman is supposed to vote for her naturally. Mm-hmm. But hopefully she will ride off into the night and we will never hear from her again, unless she is being arrested for one of her many scandals that, you know, would bring countless felonies charges to her.
Well, you heard my interview with a congressman where I brought that up. But Hillary, she's an enigma, and you know, she blames white people. Joe, I'm still trying to digest what you just said. I'm not sure, but I think she's white.
She most certainly is. And that's what's so funny about this, is she can sit there and blame white people, but, you know, it was Americans, the overwhelming majority. I mean, look at the map of the, look at the red-blue map of the electoral votes from 2016. Aside from parts of California, New York, and southern Florida, and a part of Texas, the whole map is red. I mean, Trump won, I'd say, 85% of the counties and the coverage of the red-blue map. So, I mean, as much as she can run around and talk about winning the popular vote, when you mention the illegal aliens voting, one, that's one thing. You have voter fraud in a number of different ways. And then there's other ways that we see voter manipulation. But even with all that and all the media coverage on her side, on all the elites and businesses in Hollywood on her side, all the celebrities that came out to promote for her, she still couldn't win against what America, at least the mainstream media and a number of other people say, was the worst candidate ever, which was Donald Trump. But I don't
all the witches' horses
ever.
And all the witches' men couldn't put Hillary Dumpty together again. I mean, that's really what it came down to. The American people weren't buying her. She lost that election by 20 million votes, Joe.
Probably. I would not be surprised. And, again, she called for the abolishment of the Electoral College in one of her interviews she did, I believe, Friday. So, you know, so much for... I mean, she's such a sore loser. She knows that when that the Electoral College, and we don't have to get into a big thing with this today, but it's what keeps the elections fair. It's what allows, you know, even though there's 8 million people in New York City, it makes New York City, even with, you know, Buffalo, basically, as far as the voice, it evens everything out. And the system is as old as this country, yet because she's a sore loser, because she's so arrogant, she's now saying, not only I'm going to blame everybody else, but we should have changed the rules because I didn't win, and I should have.
You know, she might have a better chance if she, I don't think the Democrats want her. In fact, I know they don't, but come 2020, there might not be any men left to oppose her. Have you heard about this?
I don't think she'd even win a local mayoral race. I don't think she would.
I was just doing a segue, Joe.
But, oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Here's what I was asking you. Have you heard about the course at Duke University removing masculinity privilege? And they're trying to get these young males into these classes and turn them into something other than males. And I'm not talking gender reassignment surgery. I'm talking about social, cultural, emotional. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't. I'm doing a search now. But yeah. No, I mean, I've seen some strange things, but that sounds pretty out there.
I did a podcast on it, and local coverage on this. Duke University, who would ever thunk? It's just absolutely incredible here, but
okay.
There won't be
Duke any recruits men.
Yeah,
Duke recruits men for a program to fight toxic masculinity.
That's it. That's the one.
That's you know, I want to say this, Dave. I for the first time in a while, my best friend who lived in Cleveland for many years lives in Erie again, where I live, and it's been a long time since I got to go fishing with him, so he picked me up this morning about 5:30 in the morning, and we fished until about 6 p.m. I'm so sunburned, and I'm exhausted, but I had a great day. Caught a whole bucket full of fish, but I said that to say when I get, especially the days that I get the sunburn, I don't know if you've ever had this happen, where you feel like you almost have the flu from getting too much sun.
I live in Arizona, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've been feeling since I got home. So, you know, I'm kind of goofy tonight. But what Duke's doing to fight toxic masculinity, this is part of the politically correct social justice culture that is basically has, you know, blanket support from the deep state, from academia, from the media, and from Hollywood. And we see so much of this from, you know, using the wrong gender pronouns, you know, can get you in trouble with these people, to their pro-abortion, pro-feminism, you know, putting down men and anything manly agenda. And it's just crazy that anybody with any ounce of common sense in their mind would listen to anything these people say. I mean, they are mentally insane. This is just the furthest thing from common sense. It's the furthest thing from any semblance of reality. But they, you know, they're moving forward in their delusion, and they're being encouraged and cheered on. I don't get it.
When I named the Common Sense Show, Joe, there were a lot of crazy things out there. This is 10 years ago now. And now, 10 years later, the Common Sense Show could not have conceived of this nuttiness. I mean, I can't even name the 97 genders. And I don't know if they're all female. I don't know if you can say female. 97 genders.
Wow.
I guess it would make selection a little challenging and could be a good depopulation instrument as a result. This is just insanity what we have going on. And
is there a guide like you have in the Chinese restaurants that say, you know, if you're a bull, you're compatible with the snake and... Maybe we can find one of those. It's just insane.
I refuse. Let's just put it this way. People can believe that the world is turned upside down and we're the closest planet to the sun, and whatever you want to believe is fine by me. Okay? Doesn't mean I'm going to come on this show and honor it. Joe, we're out of time here. Tell people how they can listen to your individual show during the week.
Absolutely, and thank you, Dave. John Robertson and myself, we have been, I think we're going into the eighth week this week, seventh or eighth week, the Hagman Daily Show. It is live 2 to 3 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio as well as Global Star Radio Channel 3, and it's archived available on any podcast or Blog Talk Radio. But folks, if you just go to HagmanReport.com, at the very top of the page, there's drop-down menus, and two of them will access the show page. One says two new shows, and the other says listen. You click on either of those, you will find not only the Hagman Daily Show and the Doug Hagman Show, my father's one-hour show, but also our main show, the Hagman Report, which airs 7 to 10 p.m. each weekday.
I'd like to know something, okay, because I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Do you cater to all the genders?
Just male and female. If that's what you mean by all the genders, absolutely.
You know, I was thinking of something driving home from church last night. And I was thinking, I'm looking out and I'm looking at this beautiful sunset over the mountains that we have here. And I was thinking, Joe, what a wonderful creation we have. Such a beautiful planet, so many wonderful people.
Yeah.
But here we have these 97 genders, and I'm thinking, what a perversion of God's creation to even talk about this.
And that's the point. That's the key. The perversion of God's creation. And they're doing it across the board, whether it's marriage, whether it's gender, whether just any and everything. It is being completely corrupted, turned upside down. And all were established by God as, you know, foundational ways of living to live properly under His rule. And that's why I believe they're opposing it, first and foremost, is in defiance to God.
Well, I think, it's clearly satanically inspired because it is anti-biblical. God's a libertarian, at least in this part of human history. He's got to be the ultimate libertarian to tolerate this nonsense. But at the end of days, when it comes to that lake of fire, God's going to put on His authoritarian hat, and he's going to wreak holy hell on some of these people. I don't want to say that I'm pleased that this is going to happen to people, but I'm just going to say it's about darn time. Well, Joe, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here again real soon, my friend.
Absolutely, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Joe Hagman, ladies and gentlemen. Catch his show and Doug's show right here on the great Global Star Radio Network. We'll be back after the break. Did a pre-record 2 days ago with Pat Wood. Wow, is this scary stuff about how far technocracy has gone.